Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute, which is headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right to our phone callers in just a moment. Want to mention our critical financial shortfall of approximately $350,000. Our fiscal year ends June 30. It's critical that we reach that particular threshold at that particular time. Again, June 30. So make your gifts out to the Christian Research Institute postmarked by June 30. If you possibly can, be as generous as you can to help this ministry, not by giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. What we do is not always politically correct and popular, but it is necessary. I've pointed this out a number of times, but it bears repeating. Today you have people like Rob Bell, who have become enormously popular. His theology is politically correct and perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. The problem is it squares neither with sacred scripture nor the direct warnings of Jesus Christ. And yet, multiplied millions are buying into his new gospel. And tragically, he's not alone. And as a result, our culture is at a tipping point in the battle for truth. We're making a difference, and this is not a time for retreat. We must speak the truth and speak it boldly. And we need you to help us in that process. Consider the words of Rob Bell in his latest book. Anyone, according to Bell, and this would be anyone from Augustine to Billy Graham, who teaches that we must choose for Christ in this lifetime, is teaching a false god. And Bell is emphatic, dogmatic about that point. He says, and I quote, "If there was an earthly father who was like that, we would call the authorities. If there was an actual human dad who was that volatile, we would contact child protection services and we'd do it immediately. If you think God only gives you a chance in this life, your God is," and again, these are his words, not mine, "cruel, mean, vicious, even a tormentor." And this from a man who is now dubbed a central figure in the way this generation will do church for the next 20 years. Is his message popular? Again, absolutely. Would we love to believe it? Yes, absolutely. The problem is it does not square with the teachings of Jesus Christ himself. And the tragedy in this book is not only that people buy into the message because they're biblically illiterate, they buy into the message because they're historically illiterate. And therefore, in the book, he can get away with suggesting that Martin Luther believed the same thing that he believes. Imagine that. No one but Rob Bell in all of history has been able to determine that this was the belief of Martin Luther. Indeed, what Rob Bell really does and gets away with, because people are, by and large, historically illiterate, is he takes Martin Luther out of context such that he stops a quote at the very point that Martin Luther is going to teach the very inverse of what Rob Bell says he is teaching. If you love the Ring of Truth, stand with this ministry. We need your support prayerfully and financially. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I want to go to the phone lines. First up today is Mark. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
How you doing? It's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you.
Promise that God gave Abraham when it, where it pertains to the bounty and the, his seed numbering as the stars and all that. I was just wondering, when is that gonna come about? Because it's obviously not in Israel today, or ever has been, as far as I can tell. And could it be that we are manifesting that promise here in this country?
Well, first of all, the promise was already fulfilled. The land promises that God made to Abraham were fulfilled in the forefuture. And they were fulfilled when Joshua led the physical descendants of Abraham into Palestine. And we know that by reading the biblical text itself. The biblical text tells us that the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. Indeed, Joshua says, not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Not only Joshua, but Solomon, during whose reign the glorious temple was constructed, said, not one word has failed of all the good promises the Lord gave through his servant Moses. In fact, at the height of the Solomonic kingdom, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore, the biblical text tells us. They ate, they drank, they were happy, and Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the river Euphrates to the land of the Philistines as far as the border of Egypt. And if that's not enough in terms of biblical proof, consider the fact that even in the aftermath of Israel's exile into Babylon, Nehemiah extolled the faithfulness of God in fulfilling the land promises he had made to the patriarchs. So the Bible emphatically tells us that all the promises that God made to Israel have been fulfilled. Not one of them has failed. And let me make one more point. The land promises are fulfilled in the far future through Jesus Christ, who provides true Israel with permanent rest from their wanderings in sin. Which is to say, through Jesus Christ, we no longer look at the land, but we embrace the Lord, in whom we have our Sabbath rest. The tragedy today is that we're hyperventilating over little pieces of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea when the Lord says, the meek will inherit the earth. We say, we want a little piece of land. The Lord says, the meek will inherit the earth. So the idea that the land promises or the promises that God gave to Abraham are not fulfilled is simply to deny the clear teaching of Scripture, which also lets us know that the land promises are fully and finally fulfilled in the final future when Jesus, who leads the spiritual descendants of Abraham into paradise restored, will come again to put all things to right. So Canaan is typological of a renewed cosmos, and that's why Abraham was anything but a Zionist. Like Isaac and Jacob, he viewed living in the promised land in the same way that a stranger views living in a foreign country. Because as the writer of Hebrews makes plain, he was looking, and he was looking with anticipation to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So he looked beyond binding borders and boundaries to a day in which the meek, as Jesus put it, would inherit the earth.
Thank you very much, Hank. That helps a lot. Appreciate it.
You got it. And I've written about this in much detail in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. The Apocalypse Code is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, and right now for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I'll send you a personalized copy of The Apocalypse Code, one of the most important books I'll ever write. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bill in Ohio. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Hank, how are you today? I just want to say greetings in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ and blessings upon you and your ministry.
Thank you.
I also want to say that I believe that, you know, as the harvest, there's a few in this time and season that we're in, that God will surely bless you for the seeds that you're planting. My question is this: with all that's going on with the false prophets, and, you know, we have the Bells and the Harold Campings and everything else like that, I see, you know, it's almost as if in the time of Christ, that Christ's message got out because his conviction of the word was just so powerful, and that so many people today are just not vesting themselves, not only in connection with the Holy Spirit, but the Word itself, in order to be led by these wolves in sheep's clothing. And my final question is, Hank, is that aren't we taught as Christians that we should be praying for these people, and that, you know, the day comes and goes, and the next day they're still here, and the issue becomes, Romans says that God can take the good out of the bad. I think we should be praying for these people, because fortunately, I believe for their case, they're not like the people in California in history past, or in the islands in the Caribbean, where somebody actually gave them something where they died, you know, and that their souls, through repentance, is able to be saved. So I just want to thank you, and blessings upon your ministry.
You got to thank you, Bill. And let me say that the worst thing that can happen is not to die young. The worst thing that can happen is to live a long, robust life and never use it in service of the Master.
Yes.
And the reason that I speak out against false prophets and by name is, number one, there's a biblical precedent for doing so. Number two, people are making life decisions based on what the Harold Campings, the Rob Bells, the Jack Van Impies, and the list goes on, are telling them. And therefore, they need to be warned, and they need to learn ultimately discernment skills so they can separate between wheat and chaff and heat and light. And therein lies the real essence of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, is to teach people discernment skills. Without discernment skills, we simply cannot see the counterfeit as it looms on the horizon. With discernment skills, we can become so familiar with truth that we spot those counterfeits immediately. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Randy. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in Oklahoma. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was wondering if you had a program of study to kind of go step by step in approaching people about Christ. I have kind of had a calling to minister to maybe some of the people in my family and friends. And some of them are, you know, they believe in God, but they don't go to church. One person in particular, he says he's not an atheist. He believes in something larger than us, but nothing in particular. I'm not sure what that is. But I didn't know if there's a program of study that you had, or something that you could offer.
Well, here's the thing that I would recommend to you. First of all, there are three great apologetic issues. Those issues have to do, first of all, with the issue of origins. How one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. The second has to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which says, in essence, that God not only created the universe, but that the God who created the universe condescended to cloak himself in human flesh so that we could know him and have a relationship with him for both time and for eternity. Thus, Jesus, through the resurrection, demonstrates that he's God. The third great apologetic issue has to do with demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. If you can master those three subjects, you can use the deviations of the cults, the occult, aberrant Christian theologies, you can use them as springboards or opportunities for sharing the grace and truth and love that Jesus Christ alone can bring to the human heart. So I would recommend those resources. I wrote about the issue of origins in my book, The Face, that demonstrates the farce of evolution. I wrote about the resurrection in a book titled simply Resurrection. And thirdly, I've also written about the issue of the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin in a book that's forthcoming, Has God Spoken? So by the time you're done with the first two books, you can take the third book as a matter of study, and again, use them to demonstrate that we're sinners, that we can repent of our sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Be right back with more of your questions.
With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust, all designed to equip you to defend the faith and deepen your discernment skills. Search for articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man online, or a 3-minute Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer Bible questions. You can also connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter and receive special benefits. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Don't tune out. The Bible Answer Man will return in a moment. At the Christian Research Institute, we are deeply grateful for those who uphold us in prayer and give faithfully. But right now, with the end of our fiscal year looming just around the corner, we are facing a critical financial shortfall of $350,000. So we're asking you to send your best possible gift, postmarked by June 30th. In a time of complacency and compromise when many churches lack discernment, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast will not flinch. Rather, we will stand because truth matters. To stand with us in the battle for truth and help us meet our crucial June 30th deadline, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
New monasticism is a movement of young Christians abandoning the comforts of upper and middle class life and relocating into communes to cultivate social reforms. There are many positive aspects to the new monastic movement. However, their hope of imagining new ways to express the authentic church will come to ruin unless they remain faithful to the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Find out more in Warren Nozaki's article entitled The New Monasticism, A Quest for Spiritual Renewal in the Urban Desert. Other topics include compassionate adoption for the most helpless, the Christian citizen, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
In a time of complacency and compromise, when many churches lack discernment, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast will not flinch. Rather, we will stand because truth matters. But right now, with the end of our fiscal year looming just around the corner, we're facing a critical financial shortfall of $350,000. So we're asking you to send your best possible gift, postmarked by June 30th. It is crucial to make up this shortfall by June 30th so that CRI can stay strong in our mission to continue spreading truth on stations around the United States and Canada. If you believe in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, please contact us with your generous support today by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go to our next caller, which I'll do in just a few moments, let me mention the issue of the age of the universe, which unfortunately has divided all too many Christians. Many people in the Christian world consider the universe to be relatively young. But is it really? While special revelation or the Bible does not specifically address the age issue, general revelation, what I like to call the book of nature, provides a veritable host of clues. Let me give you just three of them, and then we'll go back to our callers. First, the reality that nothing travels faster than the speed of light, and that billions of light years separate us from the distant galaxies, leads logically to the assumption that the age of the universe is measured in billions rather than thousands of years. Furthermore, star life is a persuasive argument for the reality of a universe measured in billions of years. The universe is presumed to be at least as old as the oldest globular star clusters that are within it. While biological history may be a matter of inference, remember this: astronomical history is the function of direct observation. In other words, star formation is presently observed in all of its stages. And one final point, and that is sequential layers in the formation of ice cores. They can be found in places like Antarctica and Greenland, and they point to an Earth much older than 6,000 years. So just as arborists count tree rings to estimate the age of trees, researchers count sequential layers to date the age of ice cores. And this data log seems to demonstrate that the age of the Earth is at least hundreds of times older than the age presumed by so many that hold to a 6,000-year-old universe. So again, the point in all of this is simply to say, as Christians, we must read carefully the book of nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And don't worry about evolution. No matter how much time the evolutionist postulates, chance operating on natural processes can no more create a cell than it could a chimp, much less an astronaut. The point is, there simply isn't enough time to form a simple protein molecule by random processes. So we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Bible is true. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Philosophical naturalism has to say nothing creates everything. As believers, we say, no, an uncaused first cause created everything that has been caused. Which is to say, every cause must have an effect equal to or greater than itself. And certainly as you look at the universe, it strains credulity to suppose that it just simply sprang into existence out of absolutely nothing. If we were just a little farther from the moon, we'd be in real big difficulty. If the moon was smaller or farther away, tidal motion would cease and the oceans would stagnate and die. By the way, if it was a little bigger or closer to us, well, we'd have tidal motion that would submerge vast areas of land. Or consider the tilt of the Earth on its axis, exactly 23.5 degrees perpendicular to the plane of Earth's orbit. If we weren't precisely tilted as we are, the growing seasons would be impossible and we would be struck by lethal solar radiation. The fine-tuning of the universe in and of itself demonstrates that there must be a sovereign creator. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Tim. He's listening in California. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. The great preface to my question, I was wondering what your opinion of radiometric dating versus Genesis 1 was, and then if you had heard of the American Scientific Association, and then what's your opinion of the Science Daily May 8th article on Darwin's Dilemma Answered was, and then I'll listen to your answer.
Well, speak specifically to me about what you want to know.
Okay, well, radiometric dating obviously puts the universe at billions and billions of years old. And then they date human fossils, animal fossils at billions of years old. And then they use the DNA correlations to say that we came out of this and this and this and this and so on and so forth. And then they postulate a theory. So,
Darwin's theory of evolution, and I've pointed this out in a lot of different places, Darwin's theory of evolution simply is untenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. And we can know that for absolute fact. There is no evidence whatsoever in the fossil record for vertical transitions. There are transitions within kinds, but there's no evidence in the fossil record of transitions from one kind to another kind. And in fact, I think it's rather sad that in many of the debates, the icon becomes the argument. So if you see an ape to man icon, it becomes the argument, where in reality it should never be the argument, which is to say there's no evidence for the ape men that are in the icon. And there's no evidence whatsoever that we evolved from apes. Not only that, but the idea, as I mentioned in just an opening remark to this segment, the idea that chance can account for the complexity we see in the universe simply is absurd. The idea of design without a designer flies in the face of common sense. And beyond all of that, the empirical or the testable laws of science militate against the evolutionary hypothesis. So the evolutionary hypothesis is simply bankrupt in an age of scientific enlightenment. But having said that, there is a debate amongst Christians as to whether the universe is old or the universe is young. And I think that debate is not answered by the biblical record. The Bible isn't designed to give us the timing.
Right.
You can, however, learn a lot about the age of the universe by examining the book of nature, which is to say, the heavens declare the glory of God. So the evidence must be looked at and looked at critically and not by making up stories. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of stories that circulate on the web today which purport to say that we live in a young universe on the basis of bad information. For example, one of the things that you find on the World Wide Web today is the notion that an unfossilized T-Rex bone was examined and they found fresh red blood cells as well as hemoglobin. Well, the truth of the matter is, this is simply false advertising. It's not true. So it is unwarranted for those who love the truth and speak in the name of the one who is the truth to make assertions that simply do not correspond with reality. So we need to be very, very careful in how we deal substantively with the issues that we encounter. The same thing is true. You can look on the internet and you find creationists talking about how somehow or other we found human footprints along with dinosaur footprints, proving that humans and dinosaurs lived at the same time. Again, that's simply false advertising. It's not true. And therefore, again, we must traffic in truth as Christians because we are those who commit ourselves to the one who is the truth. As far as radiometric dating is concerned, it comprises a large set of scientific methods to measure radioactive decay. Some atoms are unstable, and they spontaneously change into other elements through the process of nuclear decay. Those rates of nuclear decay are constant. And if it could be shown that radioactive decay were not constant, radiometric dating would be unreliable. But here's the reality. Physicists have gone to great lengths in the lab to attempt to affect decay rates. And as far as I know, no significant change in constancy has been found. And that is after some very significant trial. One other thing I should point out before I close this call is simply this. And this is something that Dr. William Dembski points out in The End of Christianity, which deals with the whole issue of theodicy. He says that the unfortunate thing is today Christians are combating the notion of constancy in nature. And as he points out, that's tantamount to filling one hole by digging another hole. The Christian faith would suffer a hard blow if it were simply questioned without cause. Because the presumption of nature's constancy is crucial to historical apologetics. If at different times in human history, people who experienced violent deaths spontaneously came back to life and returned to business as usual, the unique significance of Christ's resurrection would be lost. It is precisely because nature is constant regarding death, in other words, people stay dead apart from divine intervention, that Christ's resurrection assumes significance for salvation and shows that God in Christ has decisively conquered death. So apart from nature's constancy, that conclusion could not be drawn. So I don't think we want to all too quickly fall for paradigms that suggest, for example, that there's decay in light, such that the rate of the speed of light was different in the past than it is in the present. Again, that has enormous implications for historical apologetics. We would lose epistemic warrant for some of the things that we hold dear, not to mention the thing we hold most dear, which of course is the central event in Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there are very significant consequences to historical apologetics the moment we start giving up tenets in scientific research that affect how we argue even such central events as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We'll be right back with more of your calls in just a moment, so please don't touch that dial.
Probing today's religious movements, promoting doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and providing reasons for faith and ethics. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine that no Christian should be without. Be prepared with the knowledge you need to defend the faith. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will be right back.
Many people throughout history have declared themselves the Messiah. So how can we be sure that Jesus is in fact the one and only Messiah? In Hank Hanegraaff's newest booklet, Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, Hank gives seven memorable points of messianic identification that leave no doubt Jesus is the one. As the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle fit together perfectly to reveal a clear picture, so when we study messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, we see clearly the one and only face to emerge, the face of Jesus Christ. As our way of saying thank you for your generous support, we'll send you Jesus, the Superstar of Biblical Prophecy, to give you the assurance that no one but Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. At the Christian Research Institute, we are deeply grateful for those who uphold us in prayer and give faithfully. But right now, with the end of our fiscal year looming just around the corner, we are facing a critical financial shortfall of $350,000. So we're asking you to send your best possible gift, postmarked by June 30th. In a time of complacency and compromise when many churches lack discernment, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast will not flinch. Rather, we will stand because truth matters. To stand with us in the battle for truth and help us meet our crucial June 30th deadline, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And I was just handed a number of testimonies, and we'll go right back to our callers in just a second, but I wanted to share them with our listening audience. They've touched me. Hopefully they will touch you as well. The first one is from Robin, who says, I rededicated my life to Christ in February of this year. I was really scared that it would be like the other times that I had rededicated my life to Him. I'd be on fire for a week, and something else would catch my attention, and I'd be back to living a life not dedicated to Him. However, this time has been totally different. My husband told me about Bot Radio, and I've been listening every day since. Then on my way home, one day I heard the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and it totally changed my way of perceiving my relationship with God. So many times I'd turn on the broadcast, whether online or on the radio, and I'd hear a question being answered that I'd pondered for so long. God is so amazing, and He is really working great things through this ministry. I'm so grateful for the ministry. My favorite thing is that everything that is mentioned is based on facts. I know everyone has an opinion, but I need facts. Thank you to everyone who is part of the Christian Research Institute. God bless you. And then this testimony from Bruce, who says, and this is very touching, he says, shortly after I started listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast in 2003, my 14-year-old daughter was diagnosed with cancer. We live in Tulsa, close to Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin. Through a loving church and the truth of God's Word, we stayed the course. The chemo and surgeries were so hard on Sarah and on us, yet God saw us through. The Christian Research Institute helped keep us from following after the Word of Faith crowd. And of course, that would have been very devastating in the life of not only Bruce and his wife, but also Sarah. All of these testimonies made possible through faithful friends who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. We invite you to do just that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Eddie End in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I stumbled on this ministry, the Shepherd's Chapel, and there's a Pastor Murray. Now, he talks about us all having lived in a previous age, and now we're living again. And then he also says that English and Europeans and Americans are the lost tribes of Israel. And he also says that we, you know, like when we die, we can pray and help those loved ones of us that's already died unsaved. Do you know anything of him? And, you know, or is he also one of these false preachers?
He is an absolutely false, heretical teacher who denies essential Christian doctrine. He denies the Trinity. He claims that Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same, and then believes that men were gods who existed, as you just alluded to, prior to living on earth. You also alluded to this Anglo-Israelism, and that holds not only that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race, but they are the 10 lost tribes. Of course, the 10 lost tribes are lost for a reason. They were lost because the northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians, and the few Israelites left in the land intermarried with Assyrians that repopulated the land. They became the Samaritans that are talked about in the New Testament. They certainly aren't the Anglo-Saxons of today. He also teaches a serpent seed doctrine, and this is a pernicious idea that Eve actually had sex with a snake, and that's where you get the Kenites. This is a racist kind of an idea. And there are many other things that we could say, including his teaching of the pernicious annihilation doctrine, which seems to be more and more politically correct, but certainly is not biblically correct.
Okay, no, thank you. That takes care of all my questions. Yeah, I forgot about the one about the Kenites. That was my other question. And the thing that made me fall for it is this thing of, you know, reading the Bible verse by verse over and over. And you don't mention him in your book, Christianity in Crisis, do you?
Well, I don't mention Arnold Murray and the Shepherd's Chapel in particular because he's not part of the Word of Faith movement in particular, but we've written about him in various forums. And again, he's an absolute false teacher. And You bring up the issue of reading through the Bible verse by verse. That's important, but you also need to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation, which is to say, biblical interpretation is a science in that certain rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. Obviously, he's reading through the passages, but he is not rightly interpreting the passage because he does not understand the art and science of biblical interpretation. So as opposed to extracting from the passages what the Holy Spirit has placed in the passages, he is inserting his own odd predilections on the passages and reading them into the passages, which is exactly the opposite way of how we are to correctly interpret the Bible.
Thank you very much, sir. Thanks. You've taken care of all my questions.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Doug next. He's listening on KTAA in Gladewear, Texas. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Hank. I'd just like to thank you for being correct about Y2K.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting subject that hails back from the past. And I remember that was one of those subjects that everybody thought was the perfect storm because they looked at 1967 when the Jews took control of Jerusalem in the Six-Day War, and they said, well, this is perfect. A generation is 40 years. We'll add 40 years to 1967. We'll subtract 7 for the tribulation, and presto, 2000 emerges as the date of destiny. And this worked particularly good because secularists as well as spiritualists were predicting Y2K as being the destruction of civilization. So it worked perfectly well. But in the end, all of this was based on script torture, sophistry, sensationalism, and selling. It was not based on reading the Bible for all it's worth.
I agree. My question is, with all the pornos out there, pornography, how come there's not much more preaching on it? I mean, if Christ said, if you look at a woman with lust, you committed adultery.
Yeah.
I mean, people are committing adultery hundreds, thousands of times a year.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and it's something we should spend a whole lot more time on. In fact, we did so in the Christian Research Journal. We featured an important article by Joe Dallas, who speaks on this subject more eloquently and in a more solidly biblically based manner than virtually anyone that I can think of. He wrote an article titled Darkening Our Minds, The Problem of Pornography Among Christians. It originally, as I said, appeared in the journal, but now you can access it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And we made it available there because this is a transcendently important subject. And I want to spend a little time on this because, as you point out, it is seldom preached on. It needs a whole lot more attention. Sexually explicit images today are as near as the click of a mouse. And as a result, as Doug correctly points out, pornography has become pandemic. Pornography is not only an enslaving addiction, it is quite properly a violation of the marriage vow. And not only so, it's a precursor to increasingly dangerous and degrading sexual practices. First of all, let me say this. Pornography is addictive. It enslaves the mind. It conditions users to view others as mere objects of self-gratification. That's why the Lord warns us to guard our gaze. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Furthermore, let me say this. Pornography breaks the sacred bond of marriage. Worse yet, it tears apart the very fabric of society. When pornographic images are used to satisfy sexual desire, a marriage partner is defrauded. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus rendered lustful visual encounters the moral equivalent of extramarital sexual relations. Obviously, the consequences are different, but they are justly described as sin and violation of the purposes and plans of God for your life. And then a final point. Just as marijuana is a precursor to experimenting with ever more dangerous substances, pornography often leads to increasingly degrading sexual behavior. James put this, I think, very aptly when he said, everyone is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when full grown, gives birth to death. Here's the good news. Thankfully, even the strongest addictions to pornography and the like can be overcome by taking practical steps to remove the temptation, by establishing an accountability structure, and by putting on the full armor of God as depicted in Ephesians chapter 6. The covering described in Scripture as the full armor of God is an impenetrable barrier against which the fiery darts of the evil one are impotent. When we're clothed in the covering, we're invincible. When we are not, we are but pawns in the devil's malevolent schemes. I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. It is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For your gift, I'll send you The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000-CRI. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but we do look forward to seeing you right here next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
The recent tragic rash of suicides among homosexual teens has raised the question of whether Christian teaching about homosexuality inspires bullying and violence against homosexuals. Learn not only how these accusations do not stand up under scrutiny, but also why it's essential that we examine ourselves and our rhetoric in Joe Dallas's article entitled "The Bully Pulpit: When Gay Teens Commit Suicide, Are Preachers to Blame?" Other topics include Old Testament storytelling apologetics, the Christian citizen, what skeptics want Christians to know, a critique of director George Nolfe's The Adjustment Bureau, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
We are engaged in a war. Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil.
Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.